Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 21 and read through verse 40. After 8 days had passed since Jesus' birth, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came to the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." After the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him, then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul as well." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel and the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, if you've ever heard me preach, like at all, you will recognize my next words. We need some context. The scriptures are a great starting spot for us that we read and worship and try to wrap our head around. But if we really want the deepest meaning possible that we can gather this morning, we've got to do some of that work outside of just the verses that are listed in the bulletin or that we have read. So we'll try to get down to it. Try to figure out what it is that Luke, as this gospel writer, wants us to know through these passages. What is being set up? This is the very beginning of the gospel. What is Luke setting up? How does it relate to the rest of the gospel? And how does it relate to the rest of the scriptures? So that's what we'll try to do that. And then hopefully we can get down to a meaning with some of these words that these characters have spoken today. So the first thing that we need to recognize that Luke is doing with this passage is he's making everybody look really good. I don't know if you picked up on that. Everybody in this story is like top tier. These are righteous people. From the very beginning, this is important for Luke that his audience, the people that are hearing the story about Jesus, recognize Jesus as being right from the very beginning. Jesus and his family are doing all that they can to fulfill the law of Moses. Luke changes that term, law of Moses, to law of the Lord, law of the Lord, law of the Lord. We counted in Sunday school 5 times in this little passage does Luke mention the law of the Lord. And everybody that is mentioned here in this passage is a righteous person. This is important for us to recognize as we get started in this gospel. Jesus, from the very beginning, has done everything right. His parents have done everything right. all that the law says, on the eighth day he circumcised? That's what you do. That's the right thing according to the law. He's named Jesus, given that name by the angel before he's even conceived in the womb. This is another way that Mary and Joseph and Jesus' family are proving and showing that they are following what God would have them to do. They don't pick some name out of a book. Do you remember having to do that? Well, I don't like that person. That person owes me money. I'm not going to name my kid that. They name Jesus based on what the angel tells them. They're following God's law. And then it comes to the time of the purification. That's in Leviticus. If you want to do your own reading this afternoon, we read it in Sunday school. It has to do with all those laws about purification and menstruation and all that stuff. So if you're just bored this afternoon, you can check that out. This is one of the reasons I'm very happy that Jesus came to free us from needing to follow those laws. They're a bit restrictive and demanding. But here, Luke wants us to know that Mary and Joseph and Jesus are doing all of those things. As heavy a yoke as the law was, as Jesus would say later in the gospel, they're following it. They're doing everything that is required of them. Righteous people. Now, another important detail comes to us in verse 24, when they offer the sacrifice. Again, what's demanded of them, what the law requires of them, they must make a sacrifice. This can be found in Exodus. This is where we need cliff notes at the end. Or like, if you want to read more about this, just follow the link at the end of the video. We'll put those together, maybe. And Exodus is where we see what these parents need to do to make this sacrifice. They come up with a pair of turtle doves. That's simply because they are poor. The turtle doves, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, was not your first choice. If you had the means, you were to sacrifice a lamb. This all gets back to the Exodus and the 10 plagues that came upon Egypt before the people fled. The firstborn of all the Egyptians were killed by the angel of the Lord. Remember this story? This is the big one. You should probably have a memory of this one. And to recognize God's faithfulness to the people, every firstborn child is dedicated to the Lord. Again, Mary and Joseph doing what is right. But if you had the opportunity and the means, you were to sacrifice a lamb. They don't have the means. They're poor. All they can afford, the bare minimum, is this pair of turtle doves. It's important. And I think that's an important detail. They are doing all that they can to do what God has asked them to do, even in the depths of their poverty. There's no room in the inn for Jesus to be born. He's born out in a shed. This is poor people's stuff. They can't afford a lamb. All they can afford are these two turtle doves. They're poor. And yet they're doing all that they can to satisfy the law and to do what God has called them to do. Now we've got these two prophets as well. Simeon has been a prophet his whole life. The first thing Luke says about him, we get where he's from, lives there in Jerusalem, he's a local. His name's Simeon, and that he's righteous and devout. All his life, Simeon has followed the law of Moses. He's done everything that he can to be that person that God would have him to be. And it pays off for him. He says that God has promised that he would not taste death until he saw the Messiah. And it's at that moment where this tired, poor couple of Mary and Joseph walk into the temple. You get this beautiful image of sort of Simeon like swooping down, rushing up to him. Can you imagine waiting your entire life to see the Messiah, being on vigil, waiting and waiting and waiting, and then the Holy Spirit reveals to you, that's the one you've been waiting for. How excited Simeon must have been. How frightening for Mary and Joseph. You're tired, exhausted. You've got this newborn baby that you're carrying up to do this religious ceremony. And all of a sudden this old man comes sweeping down and like snatches your baby out of your arms. That'd be terrifying. But it's all in the presence of the Holy Spirit, guided by the Spirit, Simeon's righteousness, his faithfulness, is rewarded because he gets to see and hold and touch this most important child that has ever been born, this Messiah, God's own Son, here to redeem the people. What a blessing. And then we hear these words from Simeon, all again, the righteousness of him. God, you're finally dismissing me. My long watch is over. I've waited and I've waited, and you finally are delivering me. I've seen this child. I can go in peace. But then he's got these strong words, these prophetic words about what this child will do. And he blesses the child, he blesses the family, to Joseph and to Mary, but then he looks to Mary, and he gives almost this secret prophecy. Your child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Why don't you try to imagine being Mary in that moment? You've just had this child out in a stable, put your newborn baby in a manger, in a feeding trough. Now they have those nice, fancy little carts with the blankets and all the monitors in the hospital. I don't know if you've been to the delivery room recently. It's been almost 8 years now since I've been. It's really nice. They got those carts and everything's soft and everything's quiet. Beautiful. It's wonderful. That's not what Mary's experience is. Unreal, wild birth out in a stable, putting the baby, your newborn, your firstborn, in this manger. Dirty, noisy animals all over the place. How exhausted they must have been. And then to have these requirements from the law, they make their way, trudge their way all the way to Jerusalem. Be so tired and exhausted. Getting to the temple, spending what little money you have on turtle doves to be sacrificed. And this old man comes sweeping down and takes your baby out of your arms. And he's all worked up and excited. Everybody's told you how wonderful and blessed this child is going to be. How wonderful this child is. And you're just an exhausted new mother. Somebody give me a break. But here is Simeon. Telling you all of these things. This child is wonderful. A blessing. The thing I've been waiting my entire life. That God promised I'd be able to see. Great. But then also, he's going to have a serious job. The rising and falling of many in Israel. Like, dude, I'm just exhausted. Why are you telling me all this stuff? A sign that will be opposed. Inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And he ends with this wonderful blessing. A sword will pierce your own soul too. Almost have to wonder if Mary thought it was all some fever dream. Being so tired and exhausted and worn out. And here's this person saying all of these things to her. Then finally Anna shows up. Anna, with her lineage, is clearly a prophet, doing all the things, again, Anna, doing all the things that God would require of her, worshiping day and night with feasting and prayer over and over again. Now, we don't hear Anna's words to the family, but I think this is an important detail that will foreshadow the end of the gospel, too. We've got this beautiful message and prophecy from Simeon, who speaks only to the parents, to Joseph and Mary. And then by the end, speaking only to Mary. This great revelation that Simeon has is just for a couple of people. And then finally to Mary. But it's Anna who shares with all who would listen. Everyone who was seeking the redemption of Israel. Anna is out there spreading that word. Getting it out there. Simeon, great message. Small audience. We don't hear Anna's words, but she is out there proclaiming to everyone that the Messiah has come. I said, foreshadowing to the end, it's the women who return from the empty tomb and spread the word of Jesus' resurrection. And throughout the gospel, it seems that the women are the ones who are spreading the gospel the most about Jesus and who he is. So what can we gather from these characters, from these stories? Righteousness is hard. I think that's one of the things that I've gathered. Mary and Joseph, in their poverty and their exhaustion, are still striving to be righteous, are still striving to do what God would call them to do. But it's difficult. It takes possibly their last dollar to buy these turtle doves, and yet they spend it. And there's no return on it right away. Following in God's righteousness, doing what God would have us to do, is not often the easy thing to do. It can be challenging in many ways. And there's not always an immediate payout. There's not an immediate positive consequence. Sometimes, like Simeon, you're righteous over and over all of your life. We don't know how old Simeon was. But for all of his life, he has waited and waited and waited. How difficult it must have been to sit there and wait. We see his great joy when this is finally revealed to him. But how difficult it would have been to wait and wait. The same with Anna. 84 years living in the temple, worshiping day and night. How difficult it would have been. We're here at the start of a new year. God has called us to be righteous. God has called us to do the things that are necessary, the difficult, challenging, expensive at times things, to be God's people. Sometimes we're just exhausted like Mary and Joseph and don't have any way of understanding what it's going to look like. Told over and over again how great it's going and how wonderful it is. But sometimes it feels like a burden too. But to keep on that path of righteousness, to continue to do what God has called us to do, no matter what. By the end, as Simeon and Anna proclaim, God's faithfulness holds true. No matter how challenging and difficult it is. So may we continue to go in the paths of righteousness, looking and hoping for God's redemption. Amen.